Hello, everyone. I have a very special treat for you today. This is the second episode of the Touring Heavy Metal Band podcast, and with me today, I have Mr. Grant Truesdell of Unleash the Archers.
How's it going, Grant?
Oh, I jumped the gun there, didn't I? Well, here I am. Episode 2.
Who's episode one?
Me.
Yeah.
Me. I'll provide a... You can find it.
Yourself?
Yeah, I just did it. Well, I did it as an introduction. It's just like a little 9-minute thing saying, this is what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to start some discussions. Let's talk about this. Let's make it better. Let's optimize our bands. Right?
You give yourself different voices?
Did I give myself?
Well,
oh, it's the good me versus the bad me. Yeah, yeah, a little devil on one shoulder and a little angel on the other. So I'd ask you to be on our lovely little show in its fledgling form to talk a little bit about how to prepare for going on tour, what a band should do to before they even consider actually booking some dates. And you, being a seasoned veteran of going back and forth across Canada, I figured you would be one of the right people to talk to about that. So, well, what do you think?
I'd say the first thing that you want to make sure that you can handle is your bandmates. You know, first off, you know, make sure you pretty much end up being a family one way or another. You know, living in a van together. Make sure, you know, you're in a band with people that you like and, you know, won't get frustrated with and, you know, you can live with in close quarters.
Yeah, it shouldn't just be a business. That they actually should have to be treated like a family.
I know that just goes more on the first steps of creating a band, but I don't know, that's one thing I think people kind of take for granted, and that's kind of more higher on my list than, you know, being a super good musician. You know, it's, is it going to be somebody who's going to gel with everybody, you know? So, you know, make sure you're kind of a happy family before you go out.
Well, yeah, especially
if you got a mechanic in the band, that's always good. You know, or knowing a few small minor things that'll save you a lot of money if, you know, you need to change a tire, you know, pretty basic things to know. You know, just make sure you got lots of promo and good EPK so that when you do want to shop yourself out there, you're ready to go and the promoters have everything that they need to know about you. You know, and, you know, if you're booking the tour yourself, hound the promoters and, you know, just stay in contact with them, make sure they are, you know, staying active with the show. Make sure you have lots of merch, because that'll probably bring in more money than the actual guarantees. Like, that could make or break tour, really. Like, I don't know, if you wanted, a band could literally be a glorified t-shirt company. If you got enough good designs, you don't even really have to be a good band. People will just buy your shirts because they're a cool shirt. So if you have a wicked merch display when you go out on the road, that'll that'll fill your tank.
I since you mentioned that, I remember way back in the day, maybe you remember when the ripcords came through, and they had, like, to this day, still one of the biggest selections of merch. And I'm not, you know, I'm not into too much punk. I appreciate it, especially in a live scenario. But just seeing, they had their merch set up outside, probably because they couldn't fit it all into, like, whatever they had to work with at the venue. But just mm-hmm. all those options, it was pretty cool to see that they had something for everybody.
No doubt. It guarantees that everybody can at least pick one thing that they would like. So, you know, everybody goes away from the merch table at least buying something. So, you know, you kind of have, you know, all different spectrums of merch. You know, a really busy shirt, something super simple that's, you know, more of just even a plain shirt. Or, you know, whatever. Underwear. Everybody needs new underwear. Hell, you might even be dipping into it.
Yeah, it's...
It's actually another little trick. Just, you know, buy a bag of socks and just put new socks on every day and just throw the old ones out. Yep. But five people all carrying around their dirty socks, that could be the...
I know. I know. I can't say I have stories, but you're bringing back memories I've suppressed.
It's like the best $20 you'll spend. You get a 20-pack of socks, you're good to go.
Tube socks, yeah.
Yeah, you know, not the best, but...
Whatever.
But, you know, I wish I could get away with not wearing a shirt while I play. Then you just cut down on laundry right there, too, but... chainmail strap isn't very forgiving.
Well, one of the cool things about making friends while you're on tour is trading shirts, because it's like fresh laundry, you know?
Totally.
Not just promoting your friends' bands.
If everybody drives in the band, you know, make sure you have a good van. That's your horse for it, right? Whenever we went out, we'd have a DD list for every show on the tour. So it would always rotate, so it was always fair. You know, we even had hours between, like, day driving town to town, how many hours you're doing your highway drives. So by the end of the tour, everybody's even.
Yeah.
You know, just things like that, you know, then nobody can bitch about, you know, having to do more work than anyone. It's all fair. It's all, you already go into a show expecting that you're the DD for the night, you know. Sometimes it sucks and you don't really luck out. And you get an open bar on your DD night. And you're stuck in the bar just drinking.
But you gotta take.
No, it's one. it's just the way it goes.
You gotta take one for the team, right?
Yeah, and you know, and take advantage of those open bars when you got them, because when you got a fan that likes your music and has a lot of money. Doesn't mind spending it. It's, you know, don't spend your own band money on beer.
Yeah, well.
Save that.
It's like when you're on the road, honestly, it's, you know, we accept all donations in whatever form.
Yeah, no doubt. Back rubs are pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Especially if you've been sleeping in bench seats.
Yeah. And that's another thing too. If you have a van that's equipped to sleep everybody comfortably, if you don't have a place to stay, that's a bonus too. Then you're always set up. Well, even when you're driving, people can sleep. That's when I'm not driving, I usually like to, you know, take advantage of that driving time to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or if I write music or read or, you know. I think everybody's traveled one point or another, but it's just like camping.
It's like camping
on the road, you know?
Camping and moving at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anyone could do it, you know? Contact bands in a local city. They'll know the promoters or, you know, there's bookers out there, Risk That Kill. You and I are booking for bands.
Yeah.
Anybody wants... a hand, like, you know, it always helps having that middleman, you know, deal with everything, who's, you know, already has a relationship with everybody.
I would certainly say that, maybe, I'm not sure if you agree with me on this or not, but a band, like, when they're going to do a tour, it's probably good for them to at least try booking one, even just a small one, on their own, just to see how it is before they before they approach an agent like you or I.
Totally. Yeah, like, start small. Make sure you can make it out for 3 shows on a weekend, mm-hmm. and still come back alive.
Yeah.
And a band, not broken up.
Yeah, make sure you're willing to be in that situation with each other.
No, I've been on heady moments on tours, you know, and you think the tour's going to fucking break up because somebody was flying home or taking the bus home because something happened, you know. But, you know, we always pull through because we're smarter than that. But, like, you never know. You haven't been out on the road before. Instead of booking a month tour and going out and fucking breaking up on the first, third day, yeah, test the waters. For sure. And, you know, there's nothing that gets a band tight than, like, being on tour, playing live every night. You get, you know, make sure you can break down your gear on and off stage quick. Promoters will love a band that does that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the bands, you know, just out of respect to everyone else, it's good, good to be up and down quick.
It should be self-explanatory, but still see it, but like drummers who start breaking down their kit on stage,
you know,
middle of the show, it's like, you know, just take everything off stage and start breaking it down.
Have you ever seen that and gone up there to help?
Oh yeah, no, I'll be loading everybody else's gear to get it out of the way.
Yeah, and I've certainly found myself in that situation on a number of times. It's like, hey, how's it going? How can I help with that? Oh no, don't worry about the cymbals. We'll take it down first.
Yeah. But, you know, some people just don't know, so.
Yeah.
And, but you only do that a few times before you start figuring it out.
Mm-hmm.
It starts kind of giving you the stink eye.
Yeah. I think it's just a kind of an opening band thing. They're, you know, they're all pretty high on just being there.
Yeah. If you
it's intoxicating.
Avoid that entirely and never do that, that's a plus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What about music? Like record, being ready for tour.
Having music is always good, you know. Can't go out without a set.
Of course. But like I'm saying, recordings. Do you think a band could tour on just a demo, or do you think that they should have their full, full album recordings before they even start?
I guess both. It depends on, like, for a small thing, a demo, I guess, I would be happy with that. But if you have a reason to be touring or a reason for the show, like a new album or something that you're really proud of, it makes the event more special. Mm-hmm. You know, it gives you more reason to push it, and you just have more material to use to promote it. And, yeah, it totally helps. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't just say tour just for the hell of touring, you know. It's promoting and marketing whatever product the band is promoting at the time, right?
Yeah, yeah, you do. It's not just a vacation, although you are taking a vacation basically from whatever you're doing. But it's
no, you want to leave a mark, mm-hmm. to where you're going, like. You want to just, you know, tour and leave no demos or no music and have everyone just kind of forget your game.
Yeah, no legacy.
Yeah, you have the memories in your own mind, but, like, you know, leave something tangible that's, you know, that'll spread word of mouth. That's definitely the key.
And
you know, I don't know, with music now, too, I'm kind of getting under the you know, because it's downloads and stuff, but everybody just gets it for free anyways. You know, I'm just kind of more along the point of just get it out there. Just give it to everybody. more people can listen to it, the better.
It's almost like your music is, it's advertising, well, your art, obviously, but it's just because, you know, people can get into your music. If they actually start enjoying your music, then, like, it's the merchandise comes down to the rest of it and the experience of seeing you live that what you're really trying to sell, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's just the, totally the package. Mm-hmm. Having, you know, the hype of building it up until the show actually comes, you know, to performing the show and, you know, just leaving your mark and just, you know, then each time you go out again, you just should theoretically just get a little bit better each time, you know, if you're doing it right. So it's just persistence and just keep at it. That's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Always try to do better than you did before.
That's usually a good goal.
Yeah. Once again, common sense. You take it for granted, though. But like, there are bands out there that will just keep beating at the same dead horse. And you know, if you make mistakes, learn from them. And even better, if someone else making mistakes, right?
Yeah, totally. Fuck. Learn from other people's mistakes, hands down.
If you
check your oil.
Oh, yes. Yes. Very good. Check your oil, check your brakes.
First cross Canada tour, we neglected that a bit and seized an engine and ended up having to bunk in Mooseman, Saskatchewan for a couple of days. So, you know, don't, as fun as that was,
Saskatchewan?
You know, if you could avoid that, I would highly recommend it.
You ever, I got a funny story, but you ever run out of gas on tour?
Run out of gas?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. One Hebria tour, we, our gas tank got filled with, I don't know, either water or stuff was falling off from the inside, so it was getting plugged, so we had to cut the gas line.
Oh, no.
And tape or strap jerry cans to the back of the motorhome. And run the gas line into the jerry cans and just switching out every half an hour into the next can.
Oh, wow.
Until we had a day off to drop the tank and clean it out.
And you had someone with technical know-how in the band to help you with that?
Yeah. No, we kind of just MacGyvered it. Make sure you got enough duct tape and chewing gum on you and fix any problem.
You totally outdid my story, but I've got two. One of them's really quick. What was it? Was there a last tour? Tribune was coming back, heading west through Ontario, and there's this stretch in northern Ontario is barren. It's there's stuff there, but it all closes at like 4 p.m. and gas stations included, and we ran out of gas somewhere. I can't even remember where exactly, but it all looks very much alike. And we ran out, and we parked on this hill, and we just passed this one spot where this guy was bombing around on his ATV, just like in his property. It looked like kind of like a junkyard, and he was bombing around there, and we were able to at least go and talked to this fellow, and he sold us gas at cost, which is expensive, but whatever. It's like, yes, we were so lucky.
Sold it at cost.
Yeah. He didn't charge. You know, he didn't charge us extra. That's like, that's cool, man. Thank you very much.
What a gentleman.
What a gentleman. Yeah, selling us gas out of his ATV to power our giant van beast, which just sucks it back like a Slurpee.
The other option would be to try and tow the van with the ATV and. That wouldn't have made it very
No, we were starting on a hill and we had a trailer.
We actually almost ran out of gas in Mexico.
That doesn't sound good.
A year and a half ago. And we ended up on this kind of like pretty desolate road. And there was this dude on horseback with a carriage. And we, you know, old cowboy looking guy. And we're like, you know where to get gas around here? He just points off in the distance at a grain feeder. I'm like, this guy's
welcome to Mexico.
Not quite getting it.
Well, you're not going to be siphoning anything from the horse, so.
Yeah, we made it though. We had to kill him and eat him, but
yeah.
Tour went on.
Cool. I had one last one actually. Way back in the day, when we were recording, when my band was recording, and not the last album, but the one before, is Sean and I, we were going to record guitars, and we were doing it in Kelowna. And when you get to Merritt, there's a sign right after Merritt that says, "No gas station for 75 kilometers. Like, check your gas tank, blah, 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 blah." And we're like, "Oh, look at the needle. It's pretty low." But we figured, it goes to, it goes to E, and then you still have some time, right? It's
Oh
like,
yeah, especially if you're going downhill, you usually coast
oh, yeah.
the last 2 miles.
Dude. We did coast. Actually, we coasted for about half an hour.
Whoa.
Yeah, I think we did 45 kilometers with gravity.
Nice.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, we ended up like coming out like there was a bit of a dip and then an uphill, and then the van was slowing, and we're like, we're not gonna make it, and we get over. It's like a roller coaster. Suddenly, we start picking up speed, and we're going for another like 15, 20 minutes.
Dude, that's
Till we
awesome.
finally bottomed out near Peachland, and there's like 5 minutes, 5 minutes away, there is actually a gas station, ironically.
Would have been better if you just rolled right into a gas station.
That's what we thought.
We actually, that kind of happened to us going up to, I think it was Quarter Camp River one time. Rolled into Buckley Bay right into the gas station. The first time we had to push it for a bit, but then we got over a hill and we rolled right down for a few minutes.
Yeah, it all seems so cliche, but it still happens. And now,
Yeah.
but now you know what not to
Until
do.
we get till that free energy gets going.
Yep. Yeah, gravity works really well on a van full of
And
gear and stuff.
sweat
And oh, yeah.
and empties.
Ugh. Let's see. Yeah, so basically have your bases covered, right? Like have for if you're gonna go on tour in a van. Some people don't actually tour in a van. What do you think of bands that tour in multiple vehicles?
Yeah, I've done that.
Yep. In the beginning?
Obviously not ideal, and it works if you're doing short stints. Obviously, I wouldn't want to do that for a full cross Canada thing.
No.
But I don't know if you could afford it, and if you're making enough each show, renting, is not a bad option because no matter what. If something happens, you break down, you just get a new van. But get and it's more fun when everyone's in one vehicle. You're a unit. You go everywhere as a unit. You bond. It just makes the whole experience
Yep. You put up with
that more unifying.
each other's socks unless you have fresh ones every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you have a girl in the van will stay a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah. And but then what about the bond? What about people actually like, getting along? I'm sure you must have if you're a girl in a van full of dudes who won't clean up after themselves, I imagine that that's got to get well, frustrating.
yeah. I mean, everybody gets to a tipping point at one point, but no, we're all pretty good. Like with us, we all lived together at one point. So, it's all just kind of second nature. But a couple new members here, so we'll see on these next upcoming tours. But it should be fine.
It sounds like it's going to be lots of fun. But okay, anyways, we've covered a few key points to what you need to have kind of set out before you even start getting on the road. Grant, why don't you tell us a little bit about what Unleash the Archers is up to?
Well, we actually just wrapped up our new album, so we've got the master for that. So we're kind of talking to some labels and putting together a marketing plan to put that thing out. But So we're playing Beaverfest this Saturday, August 30th. It's a pretty wicked festival out in Valley View, Alberta.
That's up north?
Yeah, yeah. It's like 5 hours north of Edmonton, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, way up there.
But that'll be good. It's got like Protest the Hero, Gob, the Agonist, mm-hmm. Comeback Kid, who actually just recorded a live video at Rain City where we did our album.
Oh, yeah.
So Baptist also put out a video there. Fuck, they turned out really well. Nightseeker, Dieter from Fubar's band is playing. Striker, Order of Chaos, Mortillery, Ninjas 5, bunch of good bands. And then that's pretty much, you know, all the shows we got kind of going on for the summer, other than in the fall when we're going to release the album. We're doing a Mexico tour and U.S., Canada tour. So I'll be looking out for that. And yeah, we've got like a bunch of two or three videos that'll be coming out with this album. So
cool.
Things are all kind of moving forward now that we're finished the recording.
Have you decided on an album name yet, or is that official?
We have. I don't think we've released it yet, though. So
it's under wraps.
Yeah.
Top secret.
Absolutely.
That's okay.
I could tell you, but you'd have to edit it out.
Oh no! You tell me later. I want everyone who's listening to know that I will know the name before you do.
Got some good stuff going on.
Cool. So through the U.S. and Canada tour, are you doing Full Circle, or are you doing like West Coast, or?
We're just gonna do the West Coast.
Cool.
And just for a couple of weeks, and then I think we're gonna aim to do the East next year in the spring.
Cool. Yeah, just kind of compartmentalize it. There's so much more going on the coasts, it seems.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know, just to kind of do short little jaunts like that. Mm-hmm.
Have you been down to the States already as a band?
Yeah, we did the full circuit. Not last summer, the summer before.
Okay, that's close.
All kind of DIY. So mm-hmm. it was some good and some bad.
Yeah, same here actually. About 2.5 years, Tribune did the same thing, and we had a lot of great times. Saw a lot of cool stuff, but it's it'll be better next time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think we kind of tried to do too much too soon on that last one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just, you know, like we said before, you know, maybe just try and start small. Mm-hmm. You know, luckily the Mexico tour on that one did very well. So it kind of made up for the parts of the U.S. that were a little down, mm-hmm. but otherwise, you know, it would have been a pretty financial bust if it was just the States.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, that's kind of how it goes sometimes. The first time around, you're just touching base with the town, mm-hmm. with the people who actually matter, so that, you know, next time around, theoretically, you know, it should just keep getting better. If you got a good product.
Yeah. And also, if you actually kind of take notes on the way, right? Like when you're going on tour, take notes. Like, remember who you're talking to.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like you don't want them to forget your music, they don't want you to forget them.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're all in this together. One person cannot do it all, and it's better if we all just kind of keep working together and pumping each other's shit and just, like, yeah, just working as a team. I'm sure we have a lot of Unleash the Archers fans out there anyways, but if anyone wanted to discover you for the very first time, where would you recommend that they go?
To Beaverfest this Saturday. But other than that, you know, all on all the outlets, unleashthearchers.com, facebook.com, / Unleash the Archers, and every other thing out there. You know, as long as you can remember the name, you can find us. Type it in Google.
That's the, I suppose it's
another key to a band name. Have a name that nothing else has.
Yeah.
So you can type it in Google, and it's the only thing there.
And maybe opt to spell it properly.
Or spell it differently.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the...
K's are pretty metal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like a... Cataclysm.
Yeah. From, totally.
Yeah. I was going to say from Canada, but we spelled that with a C. Whatever.
Maybe not for long.
Whatever, whatever. I will provide everybody here with some links for you. Rutting Cork. No, we spelled that with a C too.
Yeah, sure.
Our problem with Tribune, two things. It's pronounced Tribune. It's pronounced Tribune. But we like to say Tribune, and we were saying it for the longest time, and everyone says it the right way, and we're like, no, say it our way.
The American way.
Yeah.
Tribune.
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 And the other thing is, if you look up, if you just look up Tribune or Tribune, you're going to get newspapers.
newspapers.
Yeah. Chicago Tribune.
Well, you know, you gotta outlet yourself.
Yep.
That's what you gotta do to get by.
Yep.
Start a newspaper.
I guess so. Like, we should have a newspaper, but I think all the rights for that have been taken. Yeah. I think that's enough time for today, Grant.
Thanks for having me, man.
Hey, thanks for giving us your time and sharing some of the experiences from on the road. It'd be nice to have you back. And, well, Grant and I will be working together anyways, because we both book for Riffs That Kill. And, don't be afraid to come say hello. All right, so that was Grant. I'd really like to thank him for coming on and representing for Unleash the Archers. As I said, we've been great, great friends since, maybe 12 years ago. I remember when this kid was 15 and playing guitar in circles around me with his guitar. It was a real piss off, actually, but eventually we became friends, and we've been talking, and now we're working together. So you'll hear more from him. I apologize for the quality of the recording, but I blame the internet. Something to do with the Wi-Fi or whatever. Thank you for bearing with, and it'll only get better from here. Cheers, everyone.